Welcome to After Talk's Ask Dr. Niemeyer Show. This is the first of a series of episodes devoted to helping people grieve the loss of a loved one. Dr. Niemeyer is one of the foremost experts in grief and bereavement in the U.S. and abroad. I'm Lisa Bogotten, host of this show and co-founder of After Talk, the grief and bereavement website where you can write and share your thoughts with your deceased loved ones privately and with family and friends if you choose. If you are grieving the loss of a loved one, this show is for you. The questions we are answering today are real questions from real people with real grief. The first question is from Sandy, and it's very, very timely. Dr. Niemeyer, this is how the question goes. Dear Dr. Niemeyer, I am grieving about the horrific terror in Paris. I am grieving about the lives lost and the lives changed. The grief I feel about this is that it is not the first time and probably won't be the last time. How do I insulate myself and move on from these feelings knowing terror is the trigger for my grief and sadness, especially knowing that it will continue? Dr. Niemeyer?
Well, Sandy, I guess the first thing I would want to signal to you is my appreciation for your heart of compassion that opens to the 130 and more families who have had their lives changed unalterably by the circumstances in Paris and the terrorism that all of us witnessed in aftermath on our televisions. I am as saddened as you are by the eruption of violence in this world, at the intersection of personal grievances and socio-political and religious differences. And I hold very seriously the way in which we share a collective grief for what has transpired. And as you have said, it is not a singular occurrence. It is part of a larger pattern in which violence erupts and in which we are reminded of our collective vulnerability to this tragic form of loss, whether it's of our own lives or the lives of others we love and care for. In the face of that hard reality, the reality that ultimately we are all soft bodies in a hard world, and we remain vulnerable to the loss of our own bodily integrity and life integrity to such losses, I would nonetheless say that it is important not to insulate ourselves from these events, but indeed to spend some time meditating on them, on the causes of violence, on the need for compassionate outreach to those affected by it. And in some sense, to maybe take it as an opportunity to rededicate ourselves to lives of purpose where we can practice in our own spheres of activity, our own daily lives, sometimes in our professional roles and in our workplaces, communication styles that are nonviolent, that charitably open the floor and open our ears and mind to the concerns and grievances of others, and that we respond in a way that is generous rather than filled with hate. And I suspect in some ways the terrorist will have won when we become equally motivated by a kind of quest for revenge. And so I think there is in this a kind of necessity to draw together as a human community to stand against the impact of this sort of ultimately senseless violence.
Yeah. I was wondering if something like post-traumatic stress, in other words, when these events happen, people who are sensitive to the results of a terror attack, does it trigger something in them? And I was thinking post-traumatic stress. I was thinking in some ways survivor's guilt. Does anything like that play in to the dynamic?
It certainly can. The response I gave, I suppose, is more at the level of our broad response as human beings, as communities, as nations, but it does not address the unique vulnerabilities to the impact of witnessing violence or random death. And certainly our own individual histories can essentially lead us to respond in very different ways by a feeling of deep personal threat and terror. When we ourselves have perhaps suffered sudden traumatic loss, we may be flooded again with images of that violent death of our loved one, perhaps in another act of homicide, perhaps under horrific circumstances in which, in a fatal accident, the bodily integrity of our loved one is assaulted, as in a vehicular accident that has its own grotesqueness, or even circumstances in which the intention behind the violence may differ, as in a circumstance of suicide, in which a person might also die by gunshot. In all of these circumstances, we do have individual vulnerabilities being triggered by an event happening on the world stage, but it ripples home in our own lives, in our own houses, and in our own hearts. So I do think that there can be a kind of disposition to re-traumatization for those who are vulnerable by dint of their own history. When you mentioned the idea of survivor guilt, I think that conjures a different kind of psychology for me, one in which we feel that perhaps we ourselves have no right to go on living and to enjoy life in a kind of full and open-hearted way, yeah, when others suffer such tragedy. And I think that this comes from less a place of vulnerability and anxiety, as in the PTSD reaction you described, and more from a place of compassionate identification with the suffering of others. And I do think that that is a kind of response that can be transformed or transmuted into something that is noble as we reach out to others who need support for their own suffering in the context of our daily or professional lives.
I mean, so I can see the same thing unfolding, seeing that poor young, I think 17-year-old, being shot in Chicago on the highway.
Oh, sure.
He was shot 16 times. You, yeah, go to Colorado Springs and you see the guy who infiltrated the...
Yeah, we don't have to look to foreign shores, do we, to see activity, yeah, that terrorizes. In our country, we are all too given to that, whether it's for personal or political reasons or some unholy mixture of the two.
Yeah, it's like a ping pong ball. Every time, something like this happens, you can get sucked into, the dynamic. Is there any advice that you would have for people who really do get real grief and sadness around these public or mass events of terror, whether it be domestic terror violence, whether, mm-hmm, it be terror like what happened unexpectedly in Paris? I mean, is there a way? The writer asks, is there a way to insulate herself from the events? Is there any advice in terms of really one-on-one kind of advice, steps or tips that she could take to alleviate the pain?
Well, first of all, I don't think that the pain of grief is often the problem. The pain that is problematic is that which complicates grief. For example, when our own sense of rage or injustice begins to dominate to a point that we don't give space to the sadness, space to the mourning, but instead move quickly into a stance of seeking revenge or retribution. And this is true in our own personal lives and losses, as well as in the context of the kind of large-scale political losses of the kind we're describing, mm-hmm, here. So I think that a first step might be to distinguish what is grief from what is not grief, and to recognize that grief in the presence of suffering and loss is an appropriate response to a tragic circumstance. The second piece of that is, of course, to recognize that there can be complicating emotions and behavioral responses, such as those that may have motivated a hasty military action in the context of a previous presidency in our own recent history, leading to the deaths of hundreds of thousands of more people and a politically unstable situation that, you know, that confronts us still in this world. So sometimes the problem comes with seeking a hasty solution to a circumstance that really requires a longer-term response. I'm no political theorist, but I do believe that grief has an appropriate place in the social and political world, and that it's a way of signaling our solidarity with those who have suffered greatly.
That's a very interesting way to put it. That's a very interesting way to put the question, because I'm sure they're all of wisdom, Dr. Niemeyer, and I'm so happy that you could share that with us today. I think we're going to end this episode right now. And I wanted to share with our listening audience, if you are grieving the loss of a loved one and need support, Dr. Niemeyer would love to hear from you. Please write Dr. Niemeyer at ask@aftertalk.com and visit our website at www.aftertalk.com. There is no need to grieve alone. Thank you so much for tuning in to the Ask Dr. Niemeyer Show. Until our next episode, we wish you well.